This is Jordan Sekulow. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, 2020 presidential hopefuls on the Democrat side are pressing some pretty radical ideas. We'll talk about them today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, my view is that every vote matters. And the way we can make that happen is that we can have national voting. And that means get rid of the Electoral College and everybody.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think I would like to start exploring a lot of options, and we should have a national conversation. Term limits for Supreme Court justices might be one thing, to give every president the ability to choose three. We have people holding on to those seats in ways that I don't think is necessarily healthy. So I want to figure
out... Age limit?
I think we term limits might be a better way of saying that.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So we've got a move to the electoral, move away from the Electoral College. Let's just all elect our presidents, not by the Constitution, but by popular vote. Now, you may be thinking right now what's being pushed by Elizabeth Warren would take a constitutional amendment, a long process, very difficult, probably unlikely to work. There's actually a movement underway at the states to adopt legislation. Some already have. In fact, 12 states plus the District of Columbia have already adopted legislation that says that once there's enough states that have similar legislation to get to 270, the number of electoral votes you need to win, we will base our electoral votes not on the state votes, but on the national popular vote. So whoever wins the popular vote for the whole country will get all of our electoral votes. It is an end run around the Constitution. We will talk about the legal significance of this, some of the constitutional concerns you can imagine, as well as the concerns going back to the founding of our country where states joined the Union knowing that they would have this specific kind of representation when choosing our commander in chief, and that they would not be looked over just because of the size of the state or the location of the state or the political makeup of the state. So there's a lot to talk about here, but Elizabeth Warren is really pushing this. We've also got a number, and it's happening in the states. I mean, this is not just an idea. We've also got a number of 2020 nominees on the Democrat side who have decided to run for the nomination. The Hill is calling it the new litmus test on the left for presidential candidates. The new litmus test on the left for 2020 Democrat presidential candidates. What is that new litmus test? Do you support court packing of the United States Supreme Court, adding more justices, or doing this different kind of setup of five Republican picks, five Democrat picks from Congress, and then five presidential picks? I mean, all sorts of numbers. FDR tried it. Of course, by the way, they only support court packing if they win. They don't support this if President Trump wins re-election. So that's when you know it's not a real policy. Let me go to Than Bennett in Washington first. Than, this issue on the Electoral College and undermining the Electoral College, I think it's pretty scary that states would give their sovereignty away like this.
Yeah, these aren't just crazy plots by the left, Jordan. This is really happening. You said it in 12 states in the District of Columbia. This legislation has passed. In another 11 states, it's been introduced. Jordan, that would be enough based on the Electoral College that if all of those states were to enact those pieces of legislation, the other states, Jordan, the elections in those states would essentially be rendered meaningless. And by the way, Elizabeth Warren's justification for this is exactly 180 degrees false. She said that it's so that presidential candidates would come to states like Mississippi. Jordan, it is ridiculous to suggest that if the election was based on the popular vote nationally, that Mississippi and states like it would receive more attention from presidential candidates. Jordan, that was the entire reason the founders set up the Electoral College, so that all of the campaigning did not take place in urban areas. Elizabeth Warren doesn't seem to be a student of that history.
We'll go through the states that have already adopted this legislation and the states that are considering this legislation. How would you feel? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If your state legislature gave up your Electoral College votes and said, we'll just go with however New York and California and a few other liberal states vote, and we'll go with the popular vote, that our vote in the state won't actually matter, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, so we said right now this national popular vote bill, which is moving through the states, it would require enough states to adopt the bill that the states that had it could elect the president. That would be you'd need 270 electoral votes. There are already states that have enacted this legislation that would mean that their electors are not chosen by the votes of the people of their state. So they don't give away the delegates based off that. They give away the votes only based off delegates, based off the entire country's vote, the national vote. So it doesn't really matter how their state votes. It's how the country votes. If you live in one of these states, your state's ready to give away your right to vote right now, really, and your impact. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington State, plus the District of Columbia. So 12 states plus D.C. Now that gets them to 181 electoral votes. That's not enough yet to impact the election to get to 270. But there are enough states that have introduced legislation to get them over that line. So there's movement right now. And if you're in one of these states, you should contact your state legislatures, really be opposed to this. And there should be efforts to stop this. And don't be sold on, wow, this is really a good thing and it's more democratic. It's taking away your impact. Your entire vote won't matter because it'll be how the country votes, not how your state votes. And your state interests won't matter as much either. So who else is looking at this? It's across the country. Arkansas, Arizona, Delaware, Maine, Michigan, North Carolina, New Mexico, Nevada, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Virginia. And if those additional states adopt this, they could do an end run around the Constitution or try it, and they would put together enough votes to where they would be the ones determining who is the next president of the United States.
Yeah, Jordan, the states that have already enacted this make up 181 electoral votes. The states that are considering it would add an additional 93 electoral votes for a total of 274, which would trigger the clause in the legislation that says if the total of the states that have adopted this exceeds 270, which, of course, Jordan, that's the magic number in the Electoral College to carry the presidency. If it exceeds that threshold, then all of the state laws that have been enacted would go into effect. Right now, even the ones that are enacted, Jordan, are laying remain dormant until enough states pass this. Now, I know you're going to talk in the next segment about the legal challenges that would lie to this kind of legislation, and I think they're very strong. But let me just put it to you from a policy perspective. Let's pretend you're in a state that is not one of the ones that we are talking about, not one of the ones that passes this legislation. Jordan, it would essentially carve you out of the process of electing a president because it would only matter what happened nationally. The electors in your state would not matter because the 274 that are assigned by these other states would be the ones that determine the presidency. So look, Elizabeth Warren is trying to push something that she thinks would be popular, maybe in red states or rural states or states that she would not otherwise be popular in. But Jordan, if people take a look at the unintended consequence of this, she is trying to make the election about the elite, not the regular people.
We need to make sure that every vote counts. And I want to push that right here in Mississippi, because I think this is an important point. You know, come a general election, presidential candidates don't come to places like Mississippi. Yeah. They also don't come to places like California and Massachusetts, right? Because we're not the battleground states. Well, my view is that every vote matters. And the way we can make that happen is that we can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College and every vote counts.
Than, who would go to Mississippi when the whole vote is determined by the popular vote, and Mississippi is not a large state? Why would they go there? I mean, you would just go to population centers. That's it.
Yeah, nobody would, Jordan. I mean, look, we saw a picture of this in the last election where Hillary Clinton thought that the election was in the bag, so she just tried to make the popular point of going to the urban areas and running up her vote in places that did not matter, while President Trump went to the states that ultimately carried the election. Look, if there is a change in the rules, which, you know, that could have been set up, but one of the things the founders were trying to avoid were that states that were less populous, like Mississippi, like Montana, like Utah, like Idaho, would not be cut out of this process. Because if you were trying to win the national popular vote, you would target your resources and you would target your time to maybe the 10 or 12 top urban areas in the country. You would see a campaign that looks a lot like Hillary Clinton's. You would see campaigning in Dallas, in Chicago, in New York, in L.A. Jordan, states like Mississippi and Utah and Idaho, they would be overlooked altogether.
Let's go to Jerry in Wisconsin on.
Right now, 2/3 of all the general election campaign events in 2016 were in just 6 states. 94% of the events were in 12 states. You say Mississippi is ignored, Montana is ignored. They are completely ignored. Candidates don't go to those states. They go to my state. They go to Wisconsin. I grant you that. But most people in the United States, they're ignored because California is going to go Democrat. Texas is going to go Republican. There's no incentive. Well, Vermont's going to go Democrat. There's no incentive for candidates to campaign in those states. So those states are ignored. Under our system, you cannot have a system where candidates more ignore the vast majority of Americans because those states are already set. So your analysis is, I have to say, completely wrong.
No, okay, so Jerry, let's say you adopt this strategy. Why on earth would a candidate go to Mississippi and spend time in a small population state when they could, if they were Democrat, spend their time in California, New York, Oregon, Washington State, the Northeast, maybe some states like yours? Why would they go to Mississippi? Because it's just going to be about the popular vote anyway. It won't be about how Mississippi votes.
They don't know. That's the thing. It's like you're ignoring reality.
Wait.
They don't go Mississippi. They don't go Alabama. They don't go to Montana. They don't go to Alaska. They don't go to Vermont.
You know why, though? There are political realities there. If you could already determine the makeup of the state, if it's a likely Republican state, you've got to have resources in the campaign. So you're going to go, if you're a Republican candidate, you're going to go to the swing states. You live in one of them, Jerry. And those change by each election cycle. There's new states that pop up and some states that go away, Than. I mean, I think, Jerry, you're wrong in the system that you think that the candidates would show up in a place that has less votes if they didn't matter from how those people voted. Because all that mattered was that Mississippi or states like Alabama, if adopted this, they were just going to take the national popular vote anyway. So the votes in New York And the votes in California would far outweigh their votes then.
Yeah, look, it's true that, every election is concentrated on a number of states, but Jordan, that is determined by which states are competitive, which is determined by the interest of the people voting in those states. And I'll just, you know, give you a hypothetical. If Beto O'Rourke was to be the nominee for the Democrat Party in 2020, you can guarantee that both candidates would visit Texas, Jordan, because it would be a state that it would at least be potential to be competitive. And if you look back over the last several cycles, the 10 or 12 states that the caller is talking about as being swing states, Jordan, they're not the same in every election cycle. States have changes in the political winds. Different candidates make states competitive, and that gives power back to the states. It retains state power for citizens inside a state to work on a grassroots level and to make their state competitive. And Jordan, if they do that, it becomes one of those states that gets the most attention in the next cycle.
Yeah, I think the Democrats will be focusing more on Georgia again in this cycle. They're going to be focusing more on North Carolina yet again in this cycle, where President Obama had some victories there. So it's always changing, the handful of states. But if this model was adopted, then you wouldn't even be visiting. You wouldn't visit Wisconsin, probably. You would just visit, if you were a Democrat, states that you're actually not visiting right now who have an unbelievable say already in the election. That's the Californians and New York's kind of states.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, the last caller, I understand his frustration. He said that a lot of the election is focused on about six states right now. I think it's actually probably about a dozen. But Jordan, I said earlier in the broadcast that if this change were made, the focus would be on the top 10 or 12 urban areas. I mean, in reality, Jordan, you're probably talking about 95% of it being in about four or five, not states, but cities.
Yeah.
So if you think that states are being overlooked now, I mean, if you're in Illinois is my original home state, but I lived in farm country in the middle of the state. Jordan, candidates would definitely come to Chicago, but Chicago is a different world from where I grew up, and most of Illinois would be entirely overlooked if this process were to be changed.
So, I mean, this is the issue, folks, and I think that it's, again, trying to sell it to people and say you're disenfranchised right now because of the Electoral College, when in fact, the reason why this was adopted by our founding fathers, and we'll get into this more in the next segment, was to protect the states like a Mississippi. Or a Alabama, and the smaller states that are out there, and the New Mexicos and the Arizonas, who may not be as big population centers, but also to protect the rural area of Illinois and not just focus in on Chicago, that the whole state decides and then casts their electoral votes. It's why we have a system of federal and state government here. We don't just have a federal government. I mean, we are a republic of states put together, a democratic republic. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Also, we'll get to this court packing, which is even more popular on the Democrat nominee's side. They're actually saying it's the litmus test this year. And remember, we have our matching challenge, a great month to support the work of the ACLJ, whether it's analyzing issues like this for you, bringing you experts to jump right on it. 1-800-ACLJ.org to donate online and double the impact here.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Secchio Live, let me remind you that this is the first matching challenge month of the year. And, you know, yesterday we had on Shahriyar Gill, who oversees our office in Pakistan with a big victory there, talking about how we have about 10 to 12 cases a month that we're handling all the time, about 10 to 12 cases involving criminal actions involving the persecution of Christians. And we have a new victory up at ACLJ.org that I encourage you to check out that involved a Christian family's enslavement, forced labor, rape, torture. Our attorneys went in with the police in Pakistan to free this family, and now we are working with the prosecutors in Pakistan to bring criminal charges against those captors of this Christian family. So this is a critical time to support the work, whether it is our work here in the United States, our work for life, our work defending the Constitution, as we're discussing today with this Electoral College try and run around the Constitution that Elizabeth Warren is backing and states are adopting. It's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ because whatever you donate is effectively doubled. You double the impact of your donation to the American Center for Law and Justice. So what does that mean? If you go to aclj.org right now, it's a matching challenge month. March is our first matching challenge month of the year. If you donate $25 online at aclj.org, that is matched by a group of donors. So that $25 essentially becomes $50 to the ACLJ. But all you're charged is $25. There's not a limit here. So your $5 donation becomes very important because it's effectively 10. A $100 donation is very important. It becomes 200. I mean, and it goes on up and down from there. You can do the math, but you can double the impact of your donation. So if you have donated before, if you are a regular donor, or if you've thought about donating, this is the time to double the impact of your donation. Do it online at aclj.org during the month of March, and your donation's impact will be doubled for us at the ACLJ. And we sure do have a lot of work going on here in the United States and around the world. Now, let's get back to this issue. This issue Elizabeth Warren is pushing, it is called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. This would be an in-run around the Constitution. Let me go through the states quickly that have adopted it already. Now, they're adopting it by saying once there's enough states, so 270-plus electoral votes combined, then we will adopt this model. So we're ready to go. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, Washington, and the District of Columbia. So 12 states plus D.C. have already enacted this. States are considering it. There are Arkansas, Arizona, Delaware, Maine, Michigan, North Carolina, New Mexico, Nevada, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Virginia. If those states join and actually pass, it would get them over that 270 number, which means they could effectively choose the president with this new method where it's not how their state votes that determines what electors go to the presidential candidate, but how the country votes. I'm bringing in Ben Sisney right now, one of our senior counsels at the ACLJ on constitutional matters and on federal matters, spent time on Capitol Hill. And Ben, I wanted to talk through to people, then we'll take some phone calls, some of the real constitutional concerns here. We've talked about with Than kind of the undermining the right to vote and the ability to have an impact in your state. But there's serious constitutional issues here as well.
That's right, Jordan. There's several constitutional issues. I'm going to start with what I think might be the most concerning. All of the states joined the Union, whether we're talking about the original colonies or states further out west by virtue of their enabling acts, joined the Union with certain understandings and under the terms of essentially a contract, certain expectations. And one of those terms is how they get to participate in how the country chooses its president. And this compact that we're talking about here, it changes that. It's an effort to change that. And so for example, you have a group of states that band together and say, we're going to do it this way. We're going to change the way that the country as a whole chooses its president, because it's no longer state by state. Every state in their electors, instead, it deprives a state that's not a part of that group of the same opportunity and the weight of their electors. Basically, it deprives a state that doesn't join this compact of the benefit of its bargain, because it's changing the way that the president is elected.
Yeah, right. These states joined the union, and they were protected by the Electoral College specifically. That's why we have two U.S. senators for every state, regardless of size. And then we have the House of Representatives based off size. So, again, it's to protect the large population states versus the smaller population states, but that at the Senate they would have equal representation. At the Electoral College, again, it was to give a voice to each state, because we are a constitutional republic of states that have formed a union. And part of that bargain was the Electoral College. And this would be, just briefly, Ben, this would be an end run around that without having to do a constitutional amendment, dismantling the Electoral College and going to a popular vote, which you could do that. That'd be a much more difficult uphill process that would probably never get done. So they're trying to do an end run around the Constitution. That's part one.
That's right, Jordan. And I would just point out that there have been approximately, or at least perhaps more than, 1,000 constitutional amendments proposed that pertain to the Electoral College. They've not been passed.
Yeah.
And this is a short circuit. This is an end run. Because they don't have enough of the will of the people to do it the right way. They're trying to do it the quick and easy way and hope that we don't notice.
So you've got two issues here legally, we think, right away, Ben. One is the state claim that it could undermine their purpose of and their deal of the bargaining of joining the union itself. That would be a state claim. And then there could be a federal government could get involved here as well, and say that this is, like the DOJ or the administration, the executive branch, that this is a circumvention of the original intent of the Constitution and the Constitution provision that sets up the Electoral College.
That's right. I would just point out on that point, Jordan, that generally the Supreme Court has limited states' power with respect to federal elections. And I think that this would bear that out as well. I would also point out that I think there would be potential plaintiffs that would be the voters of a state who did pass or join this compact or pass one of these provisions, because you think, well, okay, their state legislature changed the law and that's on them. They live in that state. No, because state legislatures can't overpower they're not superior to someone's constitutional rights.
I think, Ben, while I've got you, got a minute left of this segment before we go to say, Art in California, very quickly, Art on line six. You live in one of the states that's already passed this legislation. You've got a question for us.
Yeah, to be honest with you, and I had no idea, thank you for everything you guys do, and thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
But my concern is, what can we do? And I think you touched on it earlier.
I think on it right away, Art, not to cut you off, but Ben, what could Art do is Art could potentially be a plaintiff if this goes further.
I think that he and people like him need to take this into careful consideration and decide how important this is to them. And if it is, I think they need to look at what legal remedies might be available, talking to attorneys, things like that.
Yeah, and we'll be ready for this at the ACLJ. This would be a huge battle, a constitutional battle, folks. Second half hour coming up. Thanks, Ben, for coming on and going through those legal issues that would arise if it gets to that point. ACLJ.org, matching challenge, double the impact of your donation today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, my view is that every vote matters. And the way we can make that happen is that we can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College and everybody.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live in the second half hour. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll start taking more of your phone calls. We were able to get to a couple. But I really wanted to explain this because to a lot of people, they may say, what, I thought to do away with the Electoral College, like that or not, it would take a constitutional amendment process. As Ben Sisney said from our legal team, I think over 1,000 of those kind of amendments have been put up. No action's been taken. It's very unlikely that would get through the tough hurdle of a constitutional amendment. Because the Electoral College is important to our democratic republic, that we are a republic of states that come together to form a federal union. But yet Elizabeth Warren is backing this move by states to adopt their own version of the national vote by saying it won't be how our state votes that will give delegates, you know, that night on election night. That's not how we'll award our delegates. We will award our delegates not by how our state votes, but by how by how the entire country votes. And I will tell you, folks, that is a pretty scary thing for a lot of those states. And they're getting close to the number necessary, which is 270, to be enough of a group of states that would then, by doing that, choose the president. Because they'd say, whoever gets the most electoral votes gets our delegates. Well, if those states combined have 270 or more delegates, they're just going to give it to the popular vote winner. That's who wins. So, I mean, we're getting very close. They've already got 181 delegates worth of states on board, and enough states looking at it where it could be a real legal issue that arises to be challenged as well. I want to take your calls on this. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends and family. I really encourage you. Share this broadcast with your friends and family right now. Click that share button, because no one else is really picking up on what Elizabeth Warren means by getting rid of the Electoral College. It sounds like something impossible, but in fact, what we're trying to explain to you is that there is a real end run around the Constitution going around at the state level right now, and though it could be challenged, this could dangerously impact the way we elect our commander-in-chief and the setup of our constitutional republic. So don't just think constitutional amendment necessary. Oh, she's just talking about, you know, some big idea that'll never happen. No, she's talking about something that could actually be very realistic, and we'll see if other Democrat candidates also come on board. Let me go to the phones to kind of explain, and we'll use that to explain this. We're also going to get into this court packing issue as well. It's gaining even more steam. It's being called the litmus test by The Hill, a respected news outlet in Washington, D.C., calling it the litmus test for 2020 presidential candidates on the Democrat side. Do they support packing the Supreme Court? Let's go right to the phones. We'll go in order of the calls. Linda in Colorado on line four. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Linda.
My question is, how can Governor Polis pass legislation without the people's vote?
Well, you elected the legislators that wrote the legislation, that then voted on the legislation that got to his desk and was signed by him. So that's how it gets there, Linda. Now, I understand your how you'd be upset at this. So as we were talking about in the last segment before we went to break, Harry, there are going to be people like Linda out there there wasn't a lot of attention on this, but could be potential plaintiffs even challenging this and the impact this has on their own vote.
You're precisely correct, and the caller's point is well made. But what every caller and every listener should know is that local elections matter. So electing a governor, electing a state House of Representative member, it matters for national elections. It's very, very important for people to vote each and every election.
Folks, we've got our matching challenge right now. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ in the month of March is double. Donate online today at aclj.org. We need your support. aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So we've been talking about this end run around the Constitution with this Electoral College change that Elizabeth Warren is pushing. And I encourage you, we're talking to that whole radio audience right now, people listening in on their broadcast channels, their radio stations that we appreciate, support, and love, and SiriusXM. But you're also watching on Facebook and Periscope. You have an opportunity on Facebook and Periscope to click share right now and bring more people into this conversation, because it gets a surface-level discussion when Elizabeth Warren makes a statement like this, and you don't realize that, whoa, 12 states plus D.C. have already adopted legislation to do an in-run around the Electoral College, and enough states are considering legislation where they'd get to 270, and basically whoever won the popular vote would win the election, again, an in-run around what the Constitution says, by the states. I mean, that this is realistic. That doesn't get discussed, that second part of her statement, which gets kind of laughed off as extreme, or as that will never go through because it takes a constitutional amendment. Well, it should take a constitutional amendment, but there's this new strategy underway. We're also going to talk about the new litmus test, and I'm not the one calling it that. It's The Hill, a newspaper in Washington, D.C., very well respected on both sides of the aisle, calling the court packing of the Supreme Court the new litmus test for Democrat candidates. I want to get into some of that right now as well, because we've got now on the record Cory Booker, who said he even maybe supports term limits for Supreme Court justices, even though the Constitution specifically gives them lifetime appointments. So you'd have to have constitutional amendments there. Cory Booker, the mayor of South Bend, Elizabeth Warren, Kirsten Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, Beto O'Rourke, in Klobuchar as well, they have all come out and supported the expansion or the potential expansion of the Supreme Court of the United States. Harry, I want your thoughts on that.
Well, basically, we should note the following. Democrats love the Constitution. They love the Supreme Court when they are winning. But when they start losing, because they've seen, for instance, the Supreme Court as an ally in the leftward push that they have had with respect to government, the expansion of government. And so now, to the extent that the Supreme Court is willing to actually engage in textual analysis and to deploy originalism, in other words, what was the original meaning of the Constitution, the Democrats are now very fearful of judges who actually believe in the text of the Constitution. So where were the Democrats during the Obama administration? Were they focused, for instance, on either packing or changing the composition of the United States Supreme Court? As I understand it, they were nowhere to be found. But once they started losing, then they start coming up with proposals such as changes to the Electoral College, changes to the United States Supreme Court. And it's important to note that Senator Mazie Hirono, she supports expanding the Supreme Court. But in reality, it appears that she simply prefers a court where the Democrats are widely known and remain in the majority and are prepared to rule in Senator Hirono's preferred direction. So it's all about power at the end of the day.
We're going to get into this. If you want to talk about this court packing litmus test that Democrats are running on the presidential campaign in 2020, that when we say litmus test, it means you basically, like, if you're going to be a serious candidate, you must adopt this kind of position. And the Hill is calling it that, the court packing idea. Give us a call. We've got some lines open. We've been taking calls throughout the show. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Not just talking the Electoral College issue now, but also bringing this court packing issue as well. Kind of these two new issues being pushed by, first it was the Green New Deal, now it's court packing and an in run around the Electoral College. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Julie in New York on line 5. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, Julie, are you there? Doesn't seem like Julie is there right now. We'll check on that. Let's go to Patrick in Maryland on line 2. Patrick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Patrick.
Regarding the Electoral College issue, one of the things I find interesting is if you look historically at the Electoral College, it initially had 26 senators to 65 representatives. If we had that same makeup today for 100 senators, we would have only 250 representatives. Or given the amount of representatives we have, we'd have almost 4 senators per state, which would actually empower the smaller states, because instead of a small state like Montana having 3 electoral votes, it would have 5, for example, depending on how you adjusted it. And so I think it's evident that what the Democrats are really trying to do is to water down the small votes. Right. If they really wanted to strengthen them, they would fix it by adjusting us back to our original makeup.
Right. I mean, listen, there's real amendment processes you could go through, Patrick, that you could go through the legal constitutional amendment process to do what you're talking about, which is, should we be looking at adding senators, additional 2 senators to states as the union expanded to kind of balance the power again? But you'd be going through the constitutional process of a constitutional amendment, which is a major, serious deal when we amend our Constitution. What we're seeing here is Elizabeth Warren going to Mississippi and lying to the people there because she is not going to be spending a lot of time campaigning for the 170,000 votes in Jackson, Mississippi, Wes.
Yeah, how ironic that she would make this statement in Mississippi, where those voters, as in the voters in probably 2/3 of the states, would be totally disenfranchised as far as how we elect our presidents. Elizabeth Warren is apparently ignorant of the debate at the Constitutional Convention when our nation was being founded. The founding fathers were trying to avoid the very thing that Elizabeth Warren is promoting, and it is an end run around Congress. The Electoral College was a compromise at the time between 2 ideas that were being floated and promoted in the founding of our nation. One was that Congress, by themselves, would elect the president, and the Constitutional Convention said no way. The other suggestion was that the president be elected strictly by a popular vote, and again, the Constitutional Convention said absolutely no way. And so the Electoral College was a compromise between these 2, choices that they had. And part of the reason that this compact is available to be voted on in the states is that later on, the 12th Amendment sort of revised Article 2, Section 1 of how we elect presidents. Yeah. But in that amendment, it's very vague as to how the states choose those electors. Right. It says the electors have to be chosen, but it's left pretty much up to the states how they're chosen. And so they're using that vagueness to try and get around it. I think in court, I can't imagine that it would hold up because it really is in running the Constitution.
Some divide up their delegates based off the vote, so it's not just like winner take all.
Yeah.
That was based off like the amendment you're talking about.
Right.
I think giving up your state's entire vote to the popular vote and saying, if our state voted totally opposite the majority of where the popular vote was, but we're still going to take the popular vote for elector. I mean, Harry, that seems just so unconstitutional.
So unconstitutional and so absurd. Essentially, it means that voters in a given state, their vote doesn't count at all. Why? Because we look to the national electorate and say, a majority of people voted in favor of candidate X. Therefore, our electors must support candidate X, even though a majority of citizens in a given state voted for the opposite candidate. It's important to note that Elizabeth Warren, as Wesley correctly points out, is driven by an absence of logic. She claims to support the notion that every vote matters. She argues that eliminating the Electoral College advances her goal. Reality is quite different because no presidential candidate is likely to go to Mississippi or Vermont. And so the question becomes, what does Elizabeth Warren really mean by getting rid of the Electoral College? She means ensuring that the vote of the so-called deplorables, the people that live in flyover country, the people that live in small states, she wants to ensure that their votes do not matter.
Right. Exactly. I mean, Than, President Trump, and during primaries too, you hit a lot of states, primaries and caucuses that are not necessarily determining the states that determine, you know, the battleground 12 states or so that determine the outcome of the presidential election to get the most attention. But during the primary and caucus, you go everywhere you need to until you've got enough votes to get the nomination. So you visit the Mississippis, you visit the Alabamas, the Florida, not just the Floridas. And again, President Trump has shown he was doing rallies in Mobile, Alabama, and in Mississippi and in Montana.
Yeah, and you and I have both seen situations, Jordan, where a candidate that campaigns effectively in a state can move a state from maybe blue or red to a purple swing state. Look, candidates can move that. It's up to the voters of the state. Here's what I think this is, brass politics, Jordan. I think Elizabeth Warren is trying desperately to find a way to appeal to voters in states in which her policies are not popular. Elizabeth Warren's policies, Jordan, in Mississippi, they can't carry the day, so she has to grasp her straws. That's what this is.
All right, folks, we come back. We're going to take all your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I really want to focus now on this new litmus test that you've got to back court packing, adding justices to the Supreme Court if you're a serious Democrat nominee for president. Remember our matching challenge. Donate online right now at aclj.org, and your donation will be doubled.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. you can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Watching on Facebook and Periscope, and now we're talking to everybody in 1,000-plus radio stations we're on each day. I hope you share this final segment with your friends and family. Click the share button now so we take as many phone calls as we can talking about these two issues, this Electoral College issue, this in-run around the Electoral College that Elizabeth Warren is pushing. And a lot of people thought, well, she's pushing it, but doesn't that take a constitutional amendment? Well, there's this move at states to do this without a constitutional amendment by adopting their own version of how they would give out delegates based off of the popular vote, not the vote in their state. Now, right now, that's 12 states plus D.C., and that's 181 electoral votes, so not enough to choose the president. But there are states that have introduced legislation: Arkansas, Arizona, Delaware, Maine, Michigan, North Carolina, New Mexico, Nevada, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Virginia. Those have 93 electoral votes. You add that together, it's enough to choose who the president is based off the popular vote without ever amending the Constitution, with no constitutional amendment. Now, this could be challenged in court, absolutely, as we discussed. We were just kind of discussing that on the surface level. I want to take your phone calls on that and this idea that to be a serious Democratic candidate for president, you must support court packing. Let me go to Than Bennett on that. Than, this idea that we've got Cory Booker saying he supports packing this, adding more justices to the Supreme Court, term limits for Supreme Court justices. He didn't want to call it age limits. He said term limits is better. But it's not just him. It's the mayor of South Bend. I forget how to say his name, so I just call him the mayor of South Bend. Elizabeth Warren, Kirsten Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, Beto O'Rourke, Amy Klobuchar. I mean, and that list will probably grow. As the Hill is saying, it's kind of the test for who is a serious candidate. Do you support expanding the Supreme Court? By the way, with a big caveat, only if Democrats win, Than.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you played a video during the break for our Facebook and Periscope viewers. And Jordan, it was like all of the top-tier candidates were reading from the same talking points. They all had the same proposal: expand the Supreme Court to 15 and try to fill all of the lower court vacancies. And Jordan, it brings us to a very important point, because there is a second side of this. Of course, the first side is packing the Supreme Court and adding seats. But Jordan, the second side of it is keeping as many seats that are currently vacant from being filled by nominations from President Trump. And I'll just give you two quick stats. Under previous administrations, Jordan, you usually had filibusters of judgeships that were beneath 1%. Under this presidency, 60.4% of the nominations have been filibustered. And get this, Jordan, of the 91 judges who have been confirmed during the Trump administration, those nominations received more no votes in the United States Senate than all nominations for those courts in the entire 20th century. Jordan, you heard that right. The 91 judges that have been confirmed under President Trump, they received more opposition in the United States Senate than all of the nominations from every single president for those same courts in the entire 100 years of the 20th century.
It's amazing when you look at statistics like that. I want to go right to the phones. Julie in New York on line one. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi. Hopefully you can hear me this time.
We got
time.
You.
Okay. I'm calling from Buffalo, which is far western New York.
Right.
Everyone needs to understand that New York State is a perfect example of why we need an electoral college. Most of the state is red when you go above New York City. We get an end run by the population of New York City, which is more than the entire rest of the state.
Right.
So then we end up with things like the abortion law that just went through. Right. And people don't vote because they have no voice in the rest of the state. So that's what would happen with this country if there was no electoral college.
Right.
Everything
it'd
would
be
all New York.
It'd be everywhere. Would be like New York, Julie. That's the truth. That's where you would get you'd go to where the population centers are. You would ignore the Buffaloes. When I say New York, it'd be the New York cities. You'd go to Los Angeles. You'd go to a few places like Houston, Miami. The list goes on. Atlanta, major cities around the country, Chicago. I can keep going through major cities. I won't do that right now. But what it does in effect is it isolates so many, not just rural voters, but And if you're not from the biggest cities or population centers, then you don't matter. And especially if you're not one of the states that adopts this provision.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting yesterday when Warren made this statement in Mississippi, the crowd erupted into applause because they're not thinking.
No.
When she says, let's make every vote count, that sounds good on the surface until you realize she's saying, let's make every vote count nationwide so that if you are in flyover country, if you're in a small state, if you're in a conservative state, your vote absolutely would not matter. She's not talking about every vote counting. She's talking about the West Coast and the Northeast and a few other cities, like you mentioned, making those votes count so that they actually make the decision of who becomes president, and it disenfranchises every other voter.
Let's go to Rod in Oregon on line six. Rod, welcome to JCQO Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Rod.
I have another comment why we should keep the Electoral College. Remember the mess they had in Florida recounting the votes in 2000 and 2004. We'll multiply that by 50 because the whole country would have to recount if it wasn't for the Electoral College.
Well, I think that, again, the Electoral College is there for a reason, Harry. It is there to protect the vote for Commander-in-Chief. It's also there for fairness.
I think that is correct, but it's also there to protect small states vis-a-vis large states. And so if you abolish the Electoral College, that means that blue states dominate. And what does that really mean? It means that citizens in large metropolitan areas, most of which are dysfunctional in California and in New York, they would essentially become geographic dictators to the rest of us. So this is really all about one thing and one thing only, political power. And then this would result in the centralization of government in Washington, D.C. And so then we would not necessarily care at the federal level about what's going on in smaller cities in Tennessee, Ohio, and in Michigan. Why? Because New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco and perhaps Miami, they dominate the landscape. Yeah. And when we pull in experts from these dysfunctional areas in America to control the rest of us, it is a really bad idea.
You know, I think because this issue was so shocking to a lot of you when you heard that you didn't need the process they were talking about, Elizabeth Warren is referring to, is not a constitutional amendment that we could all just say, okay, talk, that's not going to happen. That this is a process ongoing right now by the states. That almost the entire show has been dominated by this. So I think we want to spend time tomorrow, be ready tomorrow on this court packing litmus test, because that's just as scary, by the way, to me. And Than, I think when you put this all together, it is these Democrat presidential candidates, they are looking for new issues to invigorate the far left of their party.
I think that's true, and I think they're going to a really radical extreme, Jordan. I mean, these are really two crazy plots that we've talked about today. And look, I've spent a lot of time, as has David Fonseca in our office here, on the court packing issue. And look, we're dealing mostly right now with the effort to keep the vacancies on the federal court open. That's what the left in Washington, D.C. is focused on, Jordan, and it will have a generational impact. We can go through some of those stats tomorrow. But look, this proposal from Elizabeth Warren to undermine the careful balance that our founding fathers put in place, which actually incentivized states to join the union, Jordan, that strikes me as a very dangerous thing to do. But I'll tell you this, I think voters are going to see through this. Jordan, I think that Elizabeth Warren is counting on voters not thinking this through. I think it's going to backfire on her.
Yeah, I do think that this will be one maybe that all the other candidates don't jump on. It's why I wanted to spend time on today and make sure you knew that some of you live in states that have already adopted this, and others are in states that are considering doing it. We'd be prepared at the ACLJ to challenge this, you know, to stand up for the citizens who want to challenge this. Could be a major legal effort. Support the work of the ACLJ, matching challenge. Donate, double the impact of your donation, ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.